Say hello to somebody this morning. Welcome somebody into church. So happy that you are here with us today at Foundation. So over the past, 48 hours, got to go out to Red River Gorge on Friday morning into through Friday night and into Saturday and do some backpacking. And so lots of fun, really great weather, but also very, very difficult. Me and a few guys were able to go on this journey through the woods, but along with us was my son. And so I began to really question and doubt, like, I don't know if he would be able to do it, but he made it. We did 9 miles and Asher did it every step of the way. But let me tell you something, the last mile almost broke us all, but particularly me and Asher. He'd been strong. He'd been doing great, been carrying his pack the whole way. But we had 3 hills, big hills, that we had to go up and down yesterday. And that third one, we get to the top of the steps. And I said some were halfway there. Well, lo and behold, we were not even close to being halfway there at all. I said to him, son, we can do this. But over the course of climbing those steps, the last mile ended up being the hardest. And what I began to notice was that his pace that he had been keeping all day just began to slow down. And just one after another, some of the guys just began to go on ahead of us because, like me, they were like, I'm ready to be done with this. But I noticed my son, a little bit slower. I said, son, just one step at a time. And we finally got to the top of that hill and we had a pretty good ways to go that was flat. And I began to then notice that my pace began to speed up a little bit more and his didn't. And over the course of that mile, that little half mile there at the end, I began to catch myself that I would drift away from my son. I would look back and I'd find him behind me. And so I finally just hit pause and I just had a moment. I said, Aaron, you got to stop. You got to slow down. I said, because it's not fair to him to try to keep up with you at this point of the journey. It's like, you got to go back to him. And so I did. I waited on him to come. And this is what I did. I changed my pace. I changed my cadence. One very small, slow step at a time. And we made it. But I felt like in that moment, that whenever I look back at my son, I begin to have this question and this thought that began to come to me. It says, Aaron, we don't leave our son behind. We finish this with him. We walk with him. You don't pull him forward to your pace after he has suffered so much. And I began to remember in that moment that that is exactly what God does for each and every single one of us. God doesn't leave us behind. God doesn't abandon us. And God, in the moments of our deepest pain and suffering, does not pull us ahead to keep up with his pace. No, he comes to us and he says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to walk this out with you. I can't carry your pack for you. I can't carry the suffering that you have, but I will walk this out with you. Today, I believe that God just has one word for us, that he needs you to know that he has not abandoned you, that he has not left you today, that he is walking beside you. Even though that what you're carrying may be heavy and you're ready to drop it and you're ready to just quit, he's saying, listen, I will be with you. That's the word that I believe God has for us in this time. Now, the problem is, though, is that we don't always believe that to be true, right? One of our greatest struggles that we'll each have, if you're not already experiencing will, is that you will believe that God has abandoned you. You will believe that God has left you. Right now, in the midst of your suffering and pain, you are questioning, is God really there? Maybe you're doing it right now. You got a cancer diagnosis or a sickness that you never thought that you would receive. And you're wrestling and you're questioning, Lord, why is this happening? Maybe you've been walking through a season of singleness and you've been praying, God, I'm ready for a spouse. I want to be married. But yet you continue to find yourself alone or feeling deeply, deeply alone. You're in a marriage right now that's like crumbling and you're like trying to fix it. You're trying to figure out like what needs to change and how to make it change. or maybe there's like this anxiety and this depression that's just overwhelming you, and there's this fear. Listen, whatever it is, there's just like a struggle that we can just all relate with, or if you have it, you will, to where you'll begin to question, God, are you really there? God, are you really there? So I don't know about you, but I've had many seasons where we've walked that out, but we also are believing that many of you are walking that out in a way in which I have not yet. And so everything I say today is humble because I've heard stories and I've seen what you've had to walk through. I'm like, I don't even know how to relate, but it's not my job to relate. It's just my job to continue to point us to hope and who Jesus is. And then whenever I go through that place where I'm walking through the valley, you can pull me through it. Amen. That's what I hope is for us today. And I want you to get to this place that you don't confuse silence with absence. That's my hope. That you're not hearing from God, you've been questioning, you're wondering why, but the silence that you may be experiencing does not mean that God has left you. But we're going to proclaim to you that actually God is very near. And today, that instead of giving up hope, you can actually find it. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Matthew chapter 27. We're going through this series called Words from the Depths. Because what we're seeing is that Jesus, in the last part of his life, had some things that he said that you're thinking, I can't believe Jesus said this. And they are deep words of pain and agony. And we're finding Jesus today speaking from the cross. Jesus has went through the ridicule. He's went through the betrayal. He's went through the abandonment. And he has went through the persecution and the beatings and has now found himself hands and feet nailed to a cross. This is the place that we meet Jesus in these words. It says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, it says this, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." Let's just pause here for just a moment. Jesus is carrying in this moment the weight of the sin of the world and the weight of the suffering upon his shoulders, upon his hands, upon his feet, literally on the cross. All that Jesus or all that God had for him was being fulfilled. And it said there's darkness all over the land. Darkness has fallen. Darkness has fallen. Darkness can be connected to despair. Darkness can be connected to like to times of depression. But darkness is the absence of what? Light. It's as if the light has been pulled from the world. And it's so crazy because it says that he is the light of the world. And so you can see that there's this real tension in the text, a real tension in the world right now that darkness has come upon us. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like the dark. I definitely don't like being in pitch black darkness. And in this moment, what would this have been like? It would have been complete and utter darkness. Probably like none of us have ever experienced, but many of you right now are walking through in some capacity. But he's walking through this moment, or he's not moving through this moment, actually. This is what I want to share with you, is that Jesus is stuck. He's stuck. He can't move. He has been nailed to this cross. For 3 hours, he's walked through this pain and this suffering, and he can't move. Can't run through it. He can't speed up the process. He must suffer through it. And so there's something that's happening here that I think you need to hear, is that you can't run through your pain. And really, I want you to know that you can't run in the dark. Anybody ever tried running in the dark? It don't end well, does it? Before you know it, you end up on your back. Or you end up even more lost. Or you end up more confused. Or you end up in a place that you never wanted to be. Like, there's nothing fruitful that comes from running through the darkness in your life. Now, here's what we all do, though. First and foremost, what do we do as soon as problems come into our life? Run. And running is, I need to fix this. I need to solve this. We need to get through this. Like, I got this diagnosis. I need to find the best doctor that can cure me and can walk me through this. Listen, we do not like sitting in the darkness. Do not like sitting in the darkness of our souls, nor in the pain of our suffering. But yet Jesus is saying something here, is like he is embracing this moment. He is carrying this moment. He is walking through, or he is going through this suffering right now, and he cannot move. There's no point in running. There's no point in chasing. I think you need to hear that today. You have something you're going through you can't run through. There's no fast way through it. There's no solution because you've already tried them. There's nothing else at this moment that may be under your power. And so you must begin to depend upon and look upon a power that is way greater than you to help you get through this moment and to help you get through this suffering. And that's why Jesus, what does he do next? He cries out to God. Light will always be brightest, or the darkness will always be darkest before what? The dawn. And we're about to see the dawn come, but before the dawn comes, Jesus lets out this cry. And I want you to go to verse 46 where we hear the cry of the Lord. He says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice." A loud voice. When we're in agony, pain, despair, there's no filter. It is like it's coming out of us. We're angry. We're like frustrated. We're in confusion. Once you imagine, he cries out. I've been working on this. This is a little like Carter County coming out, speaking a different language. Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. That is, praise God for English, my God, why have you forsaken me? You can feel the weight of the words, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, there would have been something very cruel that I could have done to my son. It would have seemed very cruel. I could have hiked in to the Red River Gorge, him with a backpack in tow, and then I could have walked out of there at my own pace, leaving him behind. Let me tell you something. My son would have been abandoned. He would not have, probably he'd still be walking. It'd be a bad thing. But it's like that. I want you to picture this word forsaken. Imagine being put in a place where you are not equipped. You do not have the know-how. You do not have the ability. You do not even have the strength to make it out. Imagine being stranded in the woods, helpless, hopeless. That's almost what this word forsaken is like. You are put into a situation where you feel lost and where you feel not just lost, but you feel like the one that was supposed to be your guide and your support has walked away from you. That's the words that Jesus is saying here. It's this this moment where Jesus is connecting with all people. It's like, have you ever felt like God has left you in a situation that you weren't equipped to handle? Have you ever been left in a situation where you didn't understand the way out? Jesus is relating to us because in this moment, he proclaimed these words. And I want you to see that this is a moment where Christ's theology and his humanity are colliding. Now, you have a theology. And I can pull out the theology. What do you believe to be true about God? Or if I even much simpler, who is God? What would you say? What is his character? What is his quality? You see, there's so many things that we can proclaim about our belief. God is good. God is love. God is gracious. God is kind. God says that he will literally like work out all things for the good of those who love him. Like there is a cry that we can see that when we lost our loved one, we can believe in our theology that they are in a better place. We can believe that in our diagnosis or in our anxiety or depression that like there is hope. That's our theology. That's our belief. But it's like you still really miss the person that you lost. You still feel very confused by why God is taking you through this situation. And you still come to this place of asking God, why is this happening to me? You see, you have a humanity that is going through something that is colliding with your theology. Because if we're really honest, like God, you say you're good, but this doesn't seem very good right now. That's the collision. It's almost as if Jesus is having the same sort of collision. He's like, God, I have known you. We have been intimate. Like, I've known you like no other person. Like, and I have walked with you. I have been obedient with you. I have come to trust in you. And I've seen you deliver so many people. And I've seen your powers come alive through me. But God, like in this moment, I am struggling with my belief in you. And I'm struggling with the weight of what the cross is putting on me. The humanity. You see, there will be moments when our theology and our humanity collide. But it's in these moments that God is inviting us, to cast our cares upon Him. In these moments, God is inviting us to cry out. Now, what is Jesus doing here in this moment? In His cry, Jesus is pointing us to the Psalms. Now, Psalms would have been something that were sung. They were parts of Scripture that they would get together and they would recite them over and over to a tune. And they were familiar. It's like me and my wife, we love musicals. We love them. And whether or not they're on TV or we get to go watch a show. And some of you today would even be able to identify my favorite musical by the words I'm about to say. Not sing, praise God, not me. From now on, these eyes will not be blinded by the light. From now on, what waited till tomorrow starts tonight. Anybody know my favorite musical of all time? Come on, where's my people at? Greatest Showman. That's it. Now, I'm going to connect with everybody. Like, It's almost there. This one isn't my favorite, but this is one you'll resonate with. Where's it at? We're almost there. It's okay. Instead of kisses, we get kicked. Instead of treated, we get tricked. It's a hard knock life. I can maybe try to see it. That like resonates with us because we've heard these lines. We've heard them over and over. And I want you to imagine now, transitioning to the cross, Jesus says these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I want you to see that it's like in this moment, we've been thinking that He's like making this call. Like, God, why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me? I believe He felt it. And I believe He was experiencing something like what we've never experienced before. But He's also pointing people back to a psalm that is a proclamation of His hope and His truest belief. Psalm chapter 22. If you go there, read it with me. And we'll also have it on the screen. It says this. Look how powerful. My God, my God. These are the words of David. Why have you forsaken me? Same words, right? Same call. David is experiencing something that has allowed him or has brought him to the place where he is wondering, God, where are you? Why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me? He goes on to say this. This is in the words that Jesus said, but we can imagine Jesus almost playing these words out in his heart and in his mind. Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning. Verse 2 says, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, I find no rest. See, Israel would have heard these words that Jesus spoke on the cross and said, oh my goodness, he's saying, he's reciting Psalms 22. Psalms 22 is a psalm, as we just read, where David is experiencing the same type of great despair. And he's questioning, he's saying, God, listen, you have been with me. You have delivered me. You have walked with me. But yet, God, why are you so distant from me right now in this moment? I've seen your power. I've seen your providence. But right now, it's like, God, you seem so far away from me. And David isn't just wrestling with his own thoughts, but he's also wrestling with the challenges of others. You see, one of the last tools that the enemy will use in your great suffering will be the voices of others. They'll begin to say, why are you still believing in God? Why are you still putting your hope in God? Why are you still trusting in Him? And David, in verse 6 through 8 of Psalm 22, he says, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me, they mock me. And they make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him. For he delights in himself. And it points us forward to what Jesus experienced on the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, there's a few words I want to bring to life to make this connect with you. It says in verse 39 through 44, it says this, and those who passed by him, look at this, derided him. Wagging their heads at him, mocked him, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. So you have the struggle that you go through. You have pain, and it's like these voices begin to come, and they begin to tell you these lies to don't believe, don't put your hope in God. But here's the greatest question of all time. To where do you turn your hope? Or where do you turn to find hope? Where in the world? See, they're so quick to tell you not to trust God, but yet who do they proclaim or point you to? It's like right now, you have chosen through your situation, chosen through your circumstances, that I'm done trusting in God. I'm done believing in Him. It has not brought goodness. It's only brought trouble. And so then the simple question you have to wrestle with is, to whom then do you turn? Yourself? Well, you've already tried running. You found yourself in the same situation. What, the world? What's the world have to offer you that's going to be lasting, that's going to be fruitful? You have to wrestle with this. You can choose to not believe in God, to not trust in Him, but you have to then in that very moment put your faith in something else that we believe is lesser and that won't be fruitful. But God is in this moment, or Jesus, He's telling us, listen, listen, cry out, cry out. But you got to know that even when you cry out, sometimes you'll find that God just will not answer you. You will find silence. But once again, it does not mean He's absent. But if you cry out, my God, why? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? And I want to just lean you to a thought for just a moment. What if God answered you? What if He told you why? Would you like the answer? Do you think you'd like the answer? If I know myself, it's like God, I'd be like, well, that seems like a terrible plan. Like, I figured there could have been another way. Like, is there option B, C? Like, this is what you chose? This is the way in which you wanted me to suffer? Or this is what you wanted to bring me through? You're like, I don't understand. You see, oftentimes, even if we had the answer why, it would not take away the pain you're experiencing right now. And so there has to be something greater at the end of this. There has to be hope. And I believe that there is. There's an old saying that comes that says, when you cannot trace God's hand, you can always trust His heart. And Jesus is pointing us to Psalms 22 because Psalms 22 goes from lamenting to praising. Now, if you all know me very well, or maybe you're new to getting to know me, I am 99% of the time a pretty upbeat guy. The cup's always pretty full. And what that struggle is that I don't lament very well. Now, some of you, you only lament. We don't hang out very often. But it's like you only lament. You're always in sorrow. Always. But it's like Jesus didn't invite us to just be like always happy and to always lament. He always encouraged us to go from lamenting to praising. Today, let yourself be honest with God. Today, let yourself weep with tears for your suffering. Let yourself be grieving and be full of anguish for with whatever you may be going through, but do not live there. And do not be like me. This is like, it's just always great. But allow yourself to be broken. But walk through this progression of lamenting to praising, because this is what we see. Jesus, as He proclaims the start of the stanza of Psalm 22, He walks all the way through it. And after He gets from verse 2, He gets to verse 3. And I want to show you this. It says, yet God, You are holy. David's words. Jesus prophetically believing them in his heart. Yet God, You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In You, our fathers, they have trusted, and You delivered them. To You, they cried out and were rescued. In You, they trusted and were not put to shame. See, the psalm takes us from understanding our pain to then understanding who God has been. Some of you today just need to remember. You just need to remember. You're not where you were yesterday. and your pain, it will always be temporary in the eyes of God, because He is the person that has been the deliverer over the course of time. And we believe that He will be a deliverer today, that He goes from despair to proclaiming God's deliverance. Jesus on the cross is believing this very thing. He would have remembered Psalm 22, verse 3 through 5. And he would have gone to this place where he would remember the covenant that God had made with him and the covenant that God had made with his people. A covenant is what we find in a marriage. A covenant is the words that we say. It is like, I will be your God and you will be my people. And in Joshua 1, 5, he looks at Joshua. He tells him, Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And you need to know these words. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is recorded in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And these are the words that are a continuation. It is for you to see and for you to know that God is not a God who abandons his people. God is not a God who forsakes his covenants. He is rather the one that is always with you and that is always going through your sufferings. You're not alone. He's not absent. He's with you. He's with you. Joshua 1:5 gives us that hope. Joseph Campbell, a writer, he begins to share with us how you may be feeling. He says that right now you may be going through what he called the dark night of the soul. But it comes just before revelation, when everything is lost and all seems the darkest. It says, in this moment, then comes new life and all that is needed. I want to say that again, because in this moment, then comes new life and all that is needed. I don't know why God is continually bringing us these types of words. Last week, we got to really talk a lot about the cup that may be before you and how hard it is. And it's like today, it's like you can almost sense that there's something that God's wanting to speak to you today, to those that are in pain, to those that are suffering, to those that are questioning God, why have you left me here? It's like there's something that right now is in the room or that's in your life that's very painful that you're walking through. But it's like the Lord wants you to know He has not left you, that there is hope in your circumstances. And the reason that we know that there is hope is because of what Jesus went through. You see, the story on all accounts ended with God being absent. Because if you are the world and you're looking in, wait a minute, this is the one that we've seen that had signs and wonders. This is the one that literally raised a guy up from the dead. This is the one that's been preaching and proclaiming that he is the Messiah. And the whole world is looking at him as he takes his last breath. And they're saying, this doesn't make sense. How could death ever lead us to any sort of goodness? How could a good God allow his son to die? But it's almost like this is where this week gets really powerful, as we are reminded of both the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it's like day one, there was still silence, wasn't there? And then it's like day two, there was still silence. And then it says on day three, there was silence until, this is what's crazy. It's like God says, now I will show the world my power. Now I will show the world what I've really been doing. Now I'm going to show the world how I'm delivering not only my son, but the entire world. It's like now in a moment, he wakes up. It's like Jesus wakes up. Jesus comes alive. And he doesn't just come alive. He's like the stone gets rolled back and he comes out of this grave, out of this tomb. And it's like, you thought I was dead. you thought that the powers had overcome me, the powers of sin, the powers of darkness, and the powers of death. But I'm coming to tell you, listen, I've overcome those things. You see, right now you thought that God had abandoned me and God had forsaken me, but no. I'm just fulfilling what God had for me and has for you, so that when you in your darkest moments and darkest times, you feel like you've been forsaken, that you right now find yourself hopeless in your sin, no, you can be forgiven. Like right now, you find yourself hopeless in your situation, don't worry, because I promise you, life is on the horizon. That like new birth is on the horizon. Like your suffering will not be forever. It will come to an end, because look at me and what I have done. That's the Christ that we serve. Amen. Give God some praise for that today. Acknowledge Him for that. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, it says these words. It says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But it says these words, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take you back, Eric, go back to Psalms verse 22. Verse 22 through 24, it says these most powerful words as once again the fulfillment. It says, I tell you, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him and stand in awe. All you offspring of Israel, for He has not despised or abhorred the afflicted. The affliction of the afflicted. Psalms 22 goes from lament to praise. It goes from hopelessness to being hopeful, and the same can be true today for you. I'm going to invite Caleb to come back up and lead us in a moment here of reflection. Listen, this word is hard because it's like you may be going through something right now. And if you are going through something right now, it's like the time will come where your faith will be tested. And you'll be asking yourself, God, why have you left me? God, why have you forsaken me? God, why have you left us so helpless? But the word that comes today is that that's not at all what's true. God may be silent in your life right now, but God has not abandoned you. And so what do? Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Let Him know what you're suffering through. Let Him know what you're going through. And God may never say why. He may never say why, but I promise you that in due time, you may understand why. And I want you to see that silence is not absence today, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to invite you as we close to stand with us. I want to read the end of Psalm 42. Psalm 42 has been like our life song that we continue to look to and for encouragement and words. And with this, I just want to share with you a little bit with just how God's moving and how God's working. Last service, we had a woman show up. And I knew that she was coming yesterday. A good friend said, we're so excited. You know, my friend's coming to church with me, and man, she has just been trying to get through the doors for so long and have had so many struggles and complications to get here. See, her friend's been battling cancer. And so they gave her 2 months to live, and she's over a year into that 2 months. Praise God, right? Yeah. So it's hard. You don't know what the future has for her. Come in and broken and questioning and doubting. And I just want you to see, like, this is the word that God had for her. You can't plan these things. You can't orchestrate them. There's no idea that I would come in this morning and that this would be the word that God spoke that she hopefully would need, that she would just begin to see that. I know you're wondering why. I know it doesn't seem fair. I know that you're hurting. I know that you're in pain, and I know you want healing, And I know you want a miracle. But listen, I want you to know that I haven't left you. That I've not been abandoning you to carry this on your own. But listen, that I'm right here with you. Listen, that's true for her and it's true for you today too. I don't know the other stories that are in this room, but I know hers. And we don't know how much longer that the Lord would allow her to be here, but I know that the truth is still good for her, even no matter what, even if. Because of what we find through Jesus in His story, you see, our sins are forgiven because of what He does. We have both hope now on this side of eternity and that side of eternity because of what Christ has done. There's a reason that Easter becomes so important, because when we each get to the end of our life, we understand the hope that we have in Him. And that hope is just as real today in your situation as it will be at that point of your life. Today, these are the words I want you to know. David says in Psalms 42, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" Why are you in turmoil? Hope in God. Today, that is the word. Hope in God. Hope in God. He's not absent in the silence. Put your hope in Him. Put your trust in Him. And it says these words, "For I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." Today, He is available for you. Today, you can come to know Him in that way. And we pray that you would. I'll be up here in the front. Would love to encourage you and pray with you. But our good friends will also be in the back with our prayer team. Come to Him today with your needs, your brokenness, and may He bring you comfort. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. God, we are just so thankful, God, for how you are moving and speaking. God, into a seasons that, Lord, it seemed to be full of pain and full of suffering. And God, we pray that in these moments, that all in the room would just be reminded that, God, no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, that you are with us. You have not forsaken us. You have not abandoned us. And God, today we actively are choosing to put our hope in you, our salvation and our God. For those that have been wrestling, God, with you today, may they release it, God. May they put their trust in you, put their faith in you today, whether it be for the first time or, God, the next time. Lord, we love you and we're thankful for you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.